Isamad Aleph. The Mishnah says, Oil Arba Asr, which will translate now meaning the night of the 14th, you check chametz by candlelight. Any place where chametz is not usually brought in, you don't have to check. If so, why do you check a certain part of a wine cellar like we'll have a machlekes soon? We're talking about a wine cellar, says the Mishnah, that you use it during the meal, and therefore you might have brought chametz into it. How much you check in the wine cellar? Beis Shammai says two rows on the face of the entire wine cellar, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Beis Hillel says no, only the two outer upper rows, and that's it. Which again, the Gemara will explain. So that which we mentioned before, R, what is the definition of R? Rav Huna says Nagi, which literally means light, shine, and therefore the Gemara assumes that it means that he means day, the day of the morning of the 14th, and Rabbi Yehuda says that no, Arla Arbasa means Leili, means night. So the Gemara asks, the pasuk says by the brothers of Yosef when they left Habaker Ar, that they left in the morning. So we see that Ar is synonymous with Baker, must be it means the morning. And the Gemara says no, when we say Habaker Ar, it means that it was bright. They waited till it was light outside to tell us that a person should only leave a city and in the morning and enter the city when he's traveling at night while it's still light outside. Then we ask from a pasuk, the pasuk says Ukar Baiker Yizach Shemesh. So again, from this pasuk we see that Ar is synonymous with Baiker, meaning that Ar means day, morning. So on that we say again, no, Ar over here means light, and what the pasuk is coming to say is the sun La'asalavah will be so bright that right away in the beginning, by daybreak, it will be as bright as the light of the day now by time it is of sunrise, of Netzach Hama. Then the Gemara asks from the Pasuk Vayikra Likim La'ar Yoyim, so it must be Ara's day. So on that we said no, what it means is that the process of becoming light is it was called day, but not the Ara as a term of time of day means day. If that's the case, so then the end of the pasuk of Lachayshah Kara Laila means the process of becoming dark is called night, which is not true, because we know that it's still day until Tseisakei Chavim, which is already well into the process of becoming dark. So rather, it means that Hashem appointed the light to serve by day, and appointed the darkness to serve by night. Then we ask our pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Halalu Kol Koich Ve'ar, so presumably it means the kechavim that are out at night by R. So we see that R must mean night. So and that we say, no, it means the kechavim, the stars that shine, that have light, which teaches us that the light of the stars is also considered light, and the nafkamin of this is, if someone makes a nether not to have anah from light, he's also even to have enough to have pleasure from the light of the stars. Then we ask from a pasuk that says, La'ar yakum ritzeach, that a ritzeach gets up by R, and he kills and murders an ani and evi and a poor person, and at night he breaks into houses like a thief. So the pasuk seems to contrast two different time periods. Ar Lila is night, so Ar must be day. So on that we say no, Ar does not mean day, but rather it means if it's bright, if it's clear to you that this person who's breaking the house, he's coming with intention that if he meets the owner, he'll kill him. So then he's considered a retzeach, and like any other roidif, we're permitted to kill him in order that he shouldn't kill first. However, if it's not clear that he's going to kill, then it's dark, so to say, so then we treat him only like a ganav, and we cannot kill him. We asked our pasuk in Eiv, when Eiv cursed himself, he said, Yikav la'ar v'ayin, so presumably it means that he should hope for day, and it should never arrive. Must be, R means day. So on that we say no, R over here in this passage doesn't mean day, but rather it means he should hope that it should get light and for him, and it should and nonetheless it should never get fulfilled. Then we ask him a passage that says by David that he said, I thought Achoshek Yishufeni will be surrounded by darkness, and instead V'layla Arbadeni, night turned to day. So we see that R means day. So on that we're saying, no, that's not what David meant. Rather, he thought that even in Olam Haba it would be dark for him. And the opposite happened, that even in this world, which is compared to night, it was already bright for him. So the R in this passage doesn't mean a time of period of the day, but rather it means light. Then, after we're finished with asking from all the psukim, we ask from a braisa. The braisa says, a mishnah later on actually, the rebuta says, you first check for chametz arla arba. So if not, then you check for the 14th in the morning, and if not, you check at the time that you burn the chametz. So obviously, if the second time you check is 14th in the morning, it must be arla arba, so it means the night of the 14th. So this is proof number one that arla arba so means the night of the 14th. Then we ask from a mishnah later on, we have a machlekes when in places that held that you're not allowed to do malacha on the 14th of Nisan, at what point in time is the Isser malacha start? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says from the time of Ur. Rabbi Yehuda says from sunrise. So if Rabbi Yehuda meant sunrise, so obviously the Ur of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means the night before. On that, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov asks Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find the day that's partially also partially mutter? That he answered back, we see that from this day itself. Part of the day is also to Ichametz, like we'll see later on, and the rest of the day is mutter to Ichametz. But bottom line, like we said before, must be from here that Ar means night. And that we say, no, maybe Ar over here means not from Netzach Amah, but rather from Amun HaShachar. If so, why didn't Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ask himself also? We see that part of the day is Aser to do Malachah from Amun HaShachar, and part of the day is mutter the night before. So on that, we said, no, that there's precedent for. We know by a tinus, you could eat by night, and not by day. Masha Enkin, in the day itself, where we find that we split the day, that part is us, a part is mutter. On that, the Buddha answered back, the day itself partially is also from eating chametz, is partially mutter to eat chametz. So, l'chayu, that's a good tinus. What's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov going to answer? So the Gemara says, he'll answer you, that's by derisis, over there, it's minat Torah. So the Torah sometimes did that. The part of the day is also part of the day's mutter. But where do we find the Chazal, midrabanan, when they made an Isra on a day, they made part of the day also part of the day mutter? And that says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda will answer back, but we find that in addition to that which the Torah asked from Chometz, from Chatzais, and onward, Chazal added extra hours beforehand and only part of the day and not the whole day. So the Gemara says that's not a riot anything because that's just a gather, a siyog, to protect the deraisa. But when Chazal come to make an Isra on a day, either to do malacha or to eat, it's an all or nothing. Either it's the whole day or no part of the day. We don't find that they split the day in half. Going back to our sugi, we ask from a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says when they lit bonfires to show that the day was Rosh Chodesh, so it says they only light the fires when the Rosh Chodesh was seen in the right time, meaning it was a Chodesh Chasse, not a Chodesh Molei. When do they light the fires? The day after, the night after, the Ur, after the day that would have been the 30th day, the extra day of the previous month. So again, we see Ur is night. That is Raya number two. Then the Gemara asks from a Mishnah that it says that a Kohen was doing Avodah through the night. When it gets to the next morning, even though he was doing the Avodah the whole time, he has to repeat and do again Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim. And the Mishnah uses a Lashon of La'ira. So we see that Aira means morning. So the Gemara answer is yes, Aira means morning. But Ar, which is a different word, maybe that means night. Then Marzutra asks from a Mishnah that says a woman who miscarried the 81st night after she gave birth to a girl. So Beshame says she doesn't have to bring a new carbon because the one carbon will cover both ladies. Basil says that once it's already past the 80 days, it's the 81st night, she needs a new carbon, a separate carbon. And that Basil says to Beshame the same way that on the 81st day she would need a new carbon, so why is the night any different than the day? We always find in the Torah night and day are the same. Furthermore, the same way that the 81st night is like the 81st day as far as Tumah is concerned, that she'll be Tummy, it's no longer Damtar, so too as far as carbon is concerned, that they're the same. Bottom line, we call that 81st night Ar Lishmain in the Echad. So we see again, this is Raya number 3, that Ar means night. Then we bring another proof. It says, I might think that a Shlomim could be eaten the night of the 3rd, again with the Lashon of Ar. And it could be and we should have a logical limud that it should be that way, because other karbanis are eaten for a day and a night, and a shlom is eaten for 2 days. So just like the karbanis that are eaten for 1 day, it's a day plus that following night. So the 2 day karbanis should be the 2 days plus the following night. So on that we bring a drasha. No, it says You could eat it on that day and the next day. Vanoiser, and the leftover is ad yoim, which tells us you can only do it while it's still day, not into the night. If so, I might think you burn it right away. Just like by the one day karbanos, you burn it right away in the second morning, which is right after it becomes nicer. So to over here, you should burn it right after it becomes nicer, which is at the end of the second day, going into the third night. So on that, we bring another pasuk that no, that the nicer is only burnt b'yom hashlishi, that it's only burnt by day and not at night. But bottom line, again, it calls over here arla shlishi. So this is raya number four, that or must mean night. Then the Gemara brings another raya. It says, the Ar of Yom Kippur, the Marav of Yom Kippur, you daven seven brachas and you say vidui. Shachos, again, you daven seven brachas and say vidui, and the same by Musaf, and the same by Mecha. Marav following Yom Kippur, you daven the abridged version of Shemen Esrei, which is Havinenu, according to the Tanakhama. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, he has to daven the full Shemen Esrei, since you have to say Avdol and Chanina Das. But bottom line, again, we call the Marav of Yom Kippur Ar, must be Ar, raya number five, that Ar means night. One final raya, Beit Shmuel had a brisa that says the night of the 14th is when you check chametz for chametz lara aner. So that is coming to explain the Mishnah. So obviously the Ar of a Mishnah means night. Therefore, says the Gemara Maskana, everybody agrees that Ar means night. Just Rav Huna, who said Nagi, is because in his place they always called night Nagi. Even though it really, literally would mean bright, but they called it that because it had the opposite connotation. So, bottom line, now that it means night, why didn't the Gemara Mishnah just say simply check chametz for the night of the 14th? So the Gemara answers, because it was teaching us this concept that a person should always talk with a lishna me'alya, with a nice refined lashon, like Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, a person should be careful not to take out something that's degrading, say something that's degrading, utter from his mouth, because the Torah went out of its way 8 letters to say something in a nicer way, as instead of saying behema tameya, it says behema asher einena tahira, which is 8 letters more. Rabbi Papa says, I have a different case where it went even 9 letters out of the way, because instead of saying when there's a person that is tamei, it says ish asher lo yiyatar, which even if you spell tar without the vav would be 9 letters. Ravina says it's really 10 letters because the Torah did write it with a vav. And finally, Rabbi Acha B'Yakov says really we have another case that the pasuk went even 16 letters out of the way, because it says that Shaul said regarding David, that bilti tar hu, maybe he's not tar ki lo tar, which is 16 letters more than saying Tamehu. The Gemara brings another brisa that says the same concept, that a person has to speak Balash and Nikia in a refined, clean language, because by a male Zav, the Torah mentions the Tumah of Merkav, of something that he rides, whereas by the female Zava, the Torah doesn't mention Merkav explicitly, only from a drasha, rather it speaks only about Moshe, what she sits on, because riding for a girl is not Sneah, so therefore the Torah avoids it. Maybe you'll tell me that it's Dafka in the Torah, but Chazal, when Chazal talk, it's not that way. Therefore, the Gemara brings another pasuk. It says, "V'tivcha lashon arumim." You should choose the lashon of the chachamim who are smart. So we see, even the chachamim chose a nice, refined lashon. Maybe that's only Chazal when they were talking and learning, but regular, mundane speech, not. So on that, we bring a third pasuk. Das vasei bar malalu, that even the regular speech of his lips was a clear, nice language. And that the Gemara says, we never find in the Torah that we use the lashon of riding. Doesn't it say by Rivka vater kavna l'gamam, she rode a camel? So we said over there, since a camel is more scary to ride, therefore it's normal even for a woman to ride a camel in the normal way. What about the pasuk that it says by Moshe, that it says vayika Moshe's Ishlei was born by Yakivim al Hamor, and he gave him to ride on the donkey. So over there it uses a lashon of Rechiva, says the Gemara, because of his children. But it says by Avigail as well, when she went to see David, she was riding the donkey, it says Recheves. So the Gemara gives three terutim. Either over there it was because it was at night, so again, because she was afraid and therefore she rode normally. Or even without that, she was afraid because she was going to see David. Or a third possibility is even without that, because she was riding up a mountain, and again, it's a little frightening because it's steep. The Gemara says at the end of the day, we find many times in the Torah that it does say Tameh. So the Gemara says, when the two Lashonis are equal, you should always take the Lashon Nekiyah. However, when the other Lashon is shorter, there's a Maila to say the shorter Lashon as well. Like Rav Meir says, a person should always teach his Talmidim in a concise, short way. If that's the case, when it says Rechevis and Yeshevis are spelled the same, same amount of letters, so why did it choose Rechevis as opposed to Yeshevis? So the Gemara answers over there also, it took the shorter one because it spelled Rechevis without a vav, so it's one letter shorter than Yeshevis. Then the Gemara brings a story that there was two Talmidim that sat in front of Rav. One of them said, I'm so tired out from learning, I'm like a tired goat. And the other one said, I'm like a tired pig. And Rav didn't talk to the latter one because of he spoke in a not refined way. Another story, there was two Talmidim that sat in front of Hillel, one of them being Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Others say it was two Talmidim who sat in front of Rebbe, one of them being regular Rabbi Yochanan. One of the two Talmidim said, why is it by the grape harvest that you have to do it b'tahara, whereas by the olive harvest you don't have to do it b'tahara? And the other one said it a little bit differently, why is it that by the olive harvest you do it b'tumah? So either Hillel or Rebbe commented about the first one, that since he spoke in a refined way, I know for sure that this person will grow up to be a Meir Rabbi Yisrael, and the Taka became fulfilled that way. Then the Gemara brings a story, there was three Kehanim, one of them said he got the size from the Karbonis of a bean, the other one said I got the size of an olive, and the third one said I got the size of the tail of a lizard. So since he spoke in a not refined way about the Karbonis, they checked into him, and they found something wrong with his lineage. Says the Gemara, how is that possible? Before any kohen served on the Mizbeach, they checked into him, he was pre-vetted. And therefore we have a concept in Berkim and Mizbeach Lamala. So why over here, how could we find something? So either the Gemara says, because he opened his mouth and said something, so obviously that made a reyah, so that showed that there was something wrong with that which we originally checked in. Or says the Gemara, maybe we didn't find something wrong with his lineage, rather we found in him that he was a Baal Gaiva, a Shachas Psul, and he felt that some of the Avodahs were below his dignity, and therefore he wasn't allowed to do any Avodah. Then the Gemara brings a story, there was a guy who used to go and eat from the Korban Pesach, and he bragged that even though it says, Kol Ben Necher Lo Yechol Boi, and Kol Oro Yechol Boi, nonetheless I eat from the best of the best. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah says to him, do they ever give you from the tail? So he said, no. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah told him, next time, go ask for the tail. So he did so. And everybody was wondering, the tail is burnt usually on the Mizbeach. So they asked him, who told you to ask for the tail? So he said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah. So they said, something's funny going on over here. They looked into him, and they found out that it was a guy, and they punished him, they killed him. They sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah, that even though you're out there, and it's even your trap, your net is spread in Yerushalayim to be able to catch this guy. Then Gemara brings a story that Rav Kahana got sick, so the Rabbanon sent Rav Yeshua Breder of Idi to go visit and see how he's doing. When he got there, he saw that he was already nifter, so he tore Kriya and he cried. Then he turned his Kriya around so that when he came back, it shouldn't be recognizable right away. So they asked him, was he nifter? So he said, I don't want to say it out explicitly, because as the Pasuk says, Maiti Diba Huxil. Another story, Yochanan Chakuka went out to the small villages to see how the crop was doing. So when he came back, they asked him, did the wheat grow well? So he told him the barley grew well. So they told him, go tell that to the animals, the barley is for animals. So Gemara said, what did you want him to say? So either he could have said that the lentils did well, because that's at least a human crop, or he should have said that the wheat did well last year. Another story the Gemara brings, that Rav was the nephew of Rav Chiya from both sides. He was the son of Rav Chiya's brother, and he was also the son of Rav Chiya's sister. So when Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chiya asked him, how's your father doing? So he said, why don't you ask me about your mother? So he asked him, how's your mother doing? So he said, why don't you ask me about my father? So from there, Rav Chiya understood that they both passed away. So Rav Chiya told his shamish, take off my shoes to show avelus. And then right afterwards he said, go carry my kelim to the bathhouse. So we see from here three halachas. Number one, we see that an avel is also to wear shoes, and that's why he took them off to show avelus. Number two, we see that an avelus that is hurt, that he only finds out about more than 30 days after the patira, is only nighted for one day. And number three, we see that even that day, we say mitzvah say yom kukuli, all you need is a part of a day. There was a person, the Gemara brings, that no matter what, anytime he had a quarrel with someone, he wanted to always go to Bezdin. So we said, must be he comes from Sheva Don, and he has that midah in him, like the Pasuk says, Don Yodin Amoy. Finally, there was a person that always used to praise the seashore, that said I would, according to one pshat, that I would build my mansion on the seashore, or that a thorn bush, according to the second pshat, by the seashore is better than a cedar tree anywhere else. We said, must be he comes from Zvulun, like the Pasuk says by Zvulun, Zvulun l'chav yam yishka, and therefore he has this extra love for the sea. Gemara goes back to our mission. Now that everybody agrees that the Bedikah is the night of the 14th, why is that so? If Chometz is not usher till 6 hours into the next day, so why don't you do Bedikah then? And even if you're going to tell me it's reason Makdim and the Mitzvah, so the mornings will be sufficient, because we know Mila has to be on the 8th day, and the Brisa says, even though all the entire day is kosher for Mila, nonetheless, reason Makdim and the Mitzvah, you should do it in the morning, like it says, by Avram Avinu, by Ashkem Avram Babaker. So we see that for reasons it's sufficient in the morning. Rambam Yitzchak says for two reasons. First of all, because people are available and they're at home at night. And number two, since you're supposed to use candlelight, like the Mishnah says, candlelight works much better at night. That's why we do Bidika at night. Says Abaye, therefore, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't start learning his regular Starm close to the evening going into the 14th, because he might get involved and engrossed in his Sugya and forget to do the Bidika. They asked the Shaila of Nachman by Yitzchak, what happens if a person rents a house for the 14th? Whose responsibility is it to check? The landlord's or the renter's? So the Gemara wanted to say first that it's just like the renter has to make the mezuzah, so too he has to do the bedikah. And that we said, no raya from there. Because mezuzah is chayv hasadar. If you own a house and no one lives there, you don't have to put a mezuzah. So over there we understand that it's the renter's chiyuv. But over here, maybe it's since it's the landlord's chametz, maybe the landlord is chayiv. On that, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak brought a brisa. It says someone who rents a house to his friend, so it depends on when he handed over the keys. If he handed over the keys before the 14th, so by the time the chiyuv of bedikas chametz came, it was already in the possession of the renter, then it's the renter's chiyuv. However, if he didn't hand over the keys at the beginning of the 14th, so then the chiyuv took effect in the possession of the landlord, and then it would be the landlord's chiyuv. Another shayla they asked him, Nachman bar Yitzchak, if you rent a house on the 14th of Nisan, could you assume that it's badak or not? So the Gemara said, first, what's the shayla negeya? Just ask him. So the Gemara answers that the shayla is negeya in a case that he's not around to ask him. So the question is, do you have to do a badik or not? So on that he wanted to bring a raya from a bais that said, anybody is believed regarding badikas chametz, even women, even avodim, and even ketanim. Why do these people believe? Normally they're not. Must be there's a chazaka that any house is baduk. And we can compare that to Trumas and Mises. Just like by Trumas and Mises, somebody who's a chaver, we assume that they for sure took off Trumas and Mises. So too over here, we assume that everybody for sure did a bedika. And that says the Gemara, no, who said it's Cheskes Baduk? Maybe it's only because these people say some. They said that it was checked, but otherwise we wouldn't assume that it's checked. So the Gemara says that can't be, because these people are not normally believed, so it can't be because they're saying something. So the Gemara said, if that's the case, and the real reason is because of the Chazaka, so why is the Braisa saying everybody is believed regarding Bedikas Chametz? That's not, it's missing the point. It should say that any house has a Chazaka, that it's Baduk. So then the Gemara flips around. So it says, Elamai, you want to say that the reason why you assume it's Baduk over there is because they said something. It's Mashma. Had they not said anything, you wouldn't assume it's Baduk. So then we have arrived the exact opposite. That a house, Minastam, does not have a Cheskas Baduk. You cannot assume that it was checked. So the Gemara says, you don't have a ride the opposite way as well, because maybe we're talking about a case that we know that the owner didn't check it, but these people said that we checked it. So you would have a Havamin that they're not believed to say that they checked it. Kamash Valon, that since the whole Chiv of Bedikas Chametz is only Midrabanon, because Midrashi, you can get away with just being Mivatel the Chametz, so since it's a Chiv Midrabanon, Chazal believed even these people who are not normally believed. Another Shaila the Gemara had, if let's say a person rents a house assuming there was Baduk, and then he found out that it's not Baduk, so does that make it into a Mekach Tois or not? So Gemara says, not only in a case where it's not going to cost them money to check For sure, we say nichal le'inish le'meved mitzvah beguve. A person is willing to do a mitzvah, and therefore it cannot be considered a mekach tois. But even in a place where they usually hire crews to do a bedika, and it's going to cost them money, nonetheless, it's still not a mekach tois because we say a person is also willing to be mekayim a mitzvah by spending money. The Mishnah says later on that according to a mayor, you could eat the first 5 hours of the day, and the beginning of the sixth hour, that's when chametz becomes aser midrabanan. According to a Yehuda, you could only eat till the end of the fourth hour. The fifth hour, you can't eat anymore, but you don't have to burn. You start burning in the beginning of the sixth hour. Everybody agrees at the end of the day that chametz midraisa is from the sixth hour and on. So we want to know what's the source from that. So Gemara brings a bunch of opinions. First, Abaye says, because one pasuk says for 7 days, shivas yom sarle imatze bivatechem. However, there's another pasuk that says, "Ach b'yom rishon tasbi shesar mivatechem," that you destroy the sar on the first day. Now, how could you destroy it on the first day if 7 complete days you can't have sar? Must be that which it says b'yom rishon tasbi, so it means the day before, it means erev yomtiv. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Maybe this pasuk is coming to say that even the night of yomtiv, the 15th night of Nisan, is aser, because otherwise you could have said shilas yomim. That only by day it's also, it doesn't become muster until the morning of the 15th, but the previous night is muter, and that's why you need this extra pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, even without the extra pasuk, you would already know that the night is aser, because we have a hekesh that you have to get rid of chametz in the same time frame that it's aser to eat chametz. And we have a second hekesh that the iser to eat chametz is the same time frame that you eat matzah. And we know that the mitzvah of eating matzah is already by erev tachlu matzah, the night of the 15th. So who are then the iser of achilas chametz, and by the same token, the chiyuv of getting rid of chametz is all from the night of the 15th. Must be that this pasuk is extra to teach us on the 14th you already have to start getting rid of the chametz. If that's the case, maybe it's the entire 14th, even the night of the 14th. So on that it says, since it says b'yom rishon, that which you have to start getting rid of the chametz is only by day. But maybe it's the beginning of the day, in the morning. So on that we say, ach halek. Since it says ach, that's an exclusion. Only part of the day is aser, part of the day is mutter. So we say half the day is aser, half the day is mutter. Then the Gemara brings a second opinion. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel say that we find that the 14th of Nisan is called Rishon. Like it says in a different pasuk, Barishon, in the first month, Barba also Yom HaChodesh. So when it says Ach B'Yom Rishon, it's referring to this day, this 14th, which is known as Rishon. A third opinion, Rav Nachum Bayitzchak says, Rishon doesn't mean the first day of Yomtiv, but rather it means the day prior to Yomtiv. Like it says in the pasuk, HaRishon Adam Tivoleh, were you born before Adam Rishon? So we see that the Lashon of Rishon could also mean before. So if that's the case, regarding dollar minimum, where it says lakato lechem liyam arisha, maybe it means to take the dollar minimum the day before Yom Tov. So on that we answer, since it says later in the pasuk v'smachtem lefnei Hashem lakechem shivas yomim, so just like the 7 days over there are referring to the 7 days of Yom Tov itself, so to the Yom Arishan is referring to the Yom Arishan of Yom Tov itself. If that's the case by us as well, it says ach v'yom arishan tashbisu, and then it says shivas yomim matzah techelu. So just like the 7 days is referring to Yom Tov itself, so to the Yom Arishan should also be referring to Yom Tov itself. And that the Gemara answers that since it says an extra hey, it doesn't say Rishon, it says HaRishon. That's what gives us the license to say that HaRishon means the day before. In fact, the Gemara, if that's the case, in the other pasuk as well, Lakatol Chem B'Yom HaRishon, it also says the extra hey. That's question number one. Question number two, another pasuk, it says regarding Sukkot, B'Yom HaRishon Shabbosim B'Yom HaShmini Shabbosim. So how do you know that means the first day of Yom Tov you can't do Malacha? Maybe it means the day before, Erev Yom Tov, you can't do Malacha. Elamai, you're going to make the same Hekesh that you're going to compare it to Yom HaShmini. So you'll do the same thing here. And you'll say that the hay is extra, so this hay is extra over here as well. So on that, the Gemara try and answer, no. Maybe you need the extra hay by Mikra Kodesh, by Shabbosim, to teach us that only the first day and the eighth day are also in Malacha, B'Cholamayit is Mutter. Says the Gemara, you don't need the hay for that. That's automatic. From the fact that you say the first day and the eighth day is also, obviously in between is mutter. That the Gemara says, no, you might think that since it says ubi yom hashmini, so the vav connects everything, and therefore even the days in between would be usr. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the Torah write a vav to make it usr and then write a hay to balance it out and make it mutter? Don't write the vav and don't write the hay. So obviously the hay wasn't written to balance out the vav, and we're back to the question, why was the hay written? A third case, by Pesach as well, it says, Vayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, maybe Rishon means the day before Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov is also B'Malacha. So rather, the Gemara says, these three harishoings, we darsh them for something else. That, like the Tana Bei Rosh Shmuel says, that in the schus of three mitzvahs, which are his lulav, keeping Yom Tov of Pesach and keeping Yom Tov of Sukkot, we were zeichah to three things: to cut out, to wipe out the children of the offspring of Esav, where it says by him Harishon Vayetzi Harishon Amoni; also to the Bina Beis Hamikdash, where it says by regarding the Beis Hamikdash Kisei Kavim Meroy Merishoin Makom Mikdashenu, and thirdly to Mashiach, like it says Rishon Letzion Hinehinam. A fourth cheetah, how do you know that by Chatzais of Erev Yom Tov it's already Aser? Because Rava says, because it says, Loisishchad al Chametz Dam Zichi, you can't check the Karban Pesach when you have Chametz around. So obviously you have to get rid of the Chametz on Erev Pesach. If that's the case, maybe each person, when he's going to bring his Karban Pesach, that's when he has to get rid of the Chametz. It's not a set time for everybody. So on that, the Gemara says, no, it's not Mestabe that the Torah gave a different shear for each and every person. The Torah must have meant you have to get rid of chametz by the zman of the Karban Pesach, which begins by Chatzos. So the Gemara brings a brisa that the first sheet of the brisa, which is Rabbi Shmuel, said the same as Rava that was learned from Leis Tishchat. Then the second sheet in the brisa is Rabbi Kiva, who says another drasha, that you can't be destroying chametz on Yom Tov, because it says Leisasa Melacha, and burning is a Melacha. Must be that you're doing it on Erev Yom Tov. And then there's a third shita, which is Rabbi Yossi, who says the same as the first original shita, that it's learned from Ach B'Yom HaRishon, like we said before. Rava says that we see from Rabbi Akiva three things. Number one, we see that Ein B'Yom Chametz El Esreifa, that you have to burn the chametz specifically, because otherwise, what's the problem? Get rid of it in Yom Tov in another way. Number two, must be Havar is considered a Malacha, which is like the Shita of Havar L'Chalak Yotzisa, that it's a regular Malacha, and the reason why it was singled out is to say that each Malacha by itself is Chai. When a person does multiple Malachas, he has multiple Chiyum, as opposed to saying Havar L'Lav Yotzisa, that it's only a Lav and not a regular Malacha. And number three, we know that you're allowed to burn in order to cook on Yom Tov. Must be, we don't say that mitar shehutu l'tzarech, if it's mutar l'tzarech hakol nefesh, so hu adin, it's mutar sheloi l'tzarech, because otherwise then it would be mutar again to burn the chametz even on Yom Tov. Then the Gemara brings a brisa that quotes two psukim. It says in one pasuk, shevas yom nesel lo yimatzi v'teichim, and it says in another pasuk, lo yirol lecha asa'ar v'lo yirol lecha chametz v'chol gvulecha. Why do you need both psukim? Teretz is, if you would only have the pasuk of lo yirol lecha asa'ar, I would think lecha, only chametz that belongs to you is a problem. And number two, yerah, only chametz that you see. Therefore, you could, if you hide the chametz, you don't see it. Or if you get chametz from a guy to watch, which it doesn't belong to you, would not be usher. That's why the other pasuk says lo yimotze. In that second pasuk, it doesn't say seeing; it says it can't be found. And number two, it doesn't say lecha. So even from a guy, it would be usher. Says the Bryce, I would think that's only a guy that you don't have control over and doesn't live by you. But a guy that you do have control over and he does live by you, how do you know that, Sasser? Tamalim la yimatze b'matechim, Rashi explains, it says yimatze as opposed to simatze. I would only think, if it had the second pasuk, that only in your house is a problem. How do you know elsewhere in your yard, in your pits, in your caves, it's Sasser? So tell it is, because in the first pasuk it says b'chol kvulecha. Says the Bryce, I might have thought to say that in your house, you have all the chumras of lo yimotze. And in the gvulim, anywhere that's not your house, you have all the kulas of lecha ataraviya, but you could see chametz that belongs to anybody else. How do you know that the dinim of both psukim apply to each other? Teretz says, we make a shava sar sar. It says sar by lo yimotze, it says sar by lo yira. So you learn all the surim of the pasuk of lo yimotze to the pasuk of lo yira, and vice versa. On that, the Gemara asks, when the Brisa said, I would think that you're only allowed, that you're only not allowed to have chametz of a guy that's not under your control, but a guy that's under your control, how do you know that even that's usher? So the Gemara, that seems to be backwards. If the one that's not under your control is usher, for sure the one that's under your control. So Brisa says, I flip it around. I would only think that the guy that's under your control is usher. How do you know even the guy that's not under your control? Rava says, no. You don't have to flip it around, because this Ainli is not going on the Seifa, the Isra of Lo Yimotze, rather it's going on the Heter of the Reisha. That which we said, Shalchoy Ataroya, the chometz is only a problem if it's yours. But if it's not yours, then it's okay. I would think that's only if it belongs to a guy that's not in your control. How do you know that's even true if it belongs to a guy that's in your control? So the Gemara asks on this second teretz, on Rava's teretz, we're trying to darshan a heter, and we bring the pasuk of lo yimatzei, which seems to be an iser, that even though it doesn't belong to you, nonetheless, lo yimatzei. So the Gemara says, no. Since it says lecha lecha, it says an extra lecha in the pasuk of leirah, because it says twice in the Torah leirah lecha sa'ar. So we take one of the lechas and we say imenya inyan for leirah, we put it by leirah. So even in the pasuk of leirah, even something that's matzi eslecha, that's found by you, nonetheless, it's only also if it's lecha, if it's yours, not if it's the guy's. But at the end of the day, the Gemara asks the stira. At first we're dashing from leirah that it's only also if it's your chametz. Then we're learning from leirah that it's also even if it's not your chametz. And we said that both psukim apply to the heter and the isra of each pasuk is learned to each other. So how could these two things coexist? So the Gemara answers, if you have a chrayis, it's aser even if it's not yours. If you don't have a chrayis, then we say, similarly, Rava said to the people of Mechuza that the chometz of the guys, the soldiers, that they were mechuyiv to take care of, they had to get rid of it before Pesach, because since they have a chrayis for it, they're responsible for it. If it gets lost, they would have to pay. Therefore, it's like theirs, and they have to get rid of it. So the Gemara wants to say that this is dependent on a machloikis of davar agar l'mamik v'mam and dami. That if you hold that something that is, even though it doesn't belong to you, since it's gar l'mam and it could cost you money, it could cause you to pay money, so it's considered as if it's yours, so then we understand you have to get rid of it. But if you hold lavke mam and dami, why do you have to get rid of it? So the Gemara says, even though normally lavke mam and dami, over here is exeris akasav, lo yamotzi. Then the Ikudami wanted to say the exact opposite. I understand if you hold normally lavke mam and dami, that's why we need exeris akasav, lo yamotzi. But if you hold kem mam and dami, why do we need this exeris akasav, lo yamotzi? Even without it, since it's kem mam and dami, it's like it's his, so automatically you know you have to get rid of it. So the Gemara says, no, even if you hold normally davar gar l'mamon k'mamon dami, it's only gar l'mamon once it gets destroyed, so now it costs me money because I'm responsible for it. But kol zman that it's here, it goes back as is to the owner, so it's not yet mine. That's why, so I would think you don't have to get rid of it. That's why you need this pasuk of lo yimotzei. Then we ask the Shaila, what happens of the animals that the king takes a tax from them? So he has some portion in them, so are they chayv in Bechayra, or is it considered like he has a shukris with a guy, and therefore it's potter from Bechayra? So at first the Gemara wants to say that if he could pay the tax off with money, so then the king has no shukris in it, that it's chayv in Bechayra. Masha enkein, if he cannot pay off with money, so then the guy has a shutfus in it, and then it's potter from Bechayra. That which the Brisa says, behemoth arnu, the behemoth that's subject to the tax, is chayv in Bechayra. That must be a case that he could actually pay off the tax with money if he wants to. Then the Gemara brings a second lashon, ikudamri, that Rava said that a behemoth that's subject to the tax, even though he could pay it off with money, as long as he didn't pay it off, it's like the guy has a shutfus in the animals, and regardless, it's potter. However, a doe that's subject to the tax, even if he can't pay it off as chayiv, what's the difference? Because by behemoth, everybody knows, it's Islay Kala, everybody knows it's subject to the tax. Mashenka by the dough, no one knows that this dough is subject to the tax, and therefore they think it's just the Jew's dough, and nonetheless he's not giving off chala. So Midir Abonu, because of that marasayin, he has to give off chala. Gemara brings advice, if a guy walks into your rishus, carrying chometz stick of dough, you're not mechuyav to get rid of it. However, if he gives it to you to watch, so then you're responsible for it, you have to get rid of it. If let's say you just set aside a corner for him and told him, okay, do whatever you want in that, you put it in that corner, so then you're not responsible for it, like it says, lo yimotzei. So what's the drush of lo yimotzei? So Rav Papa says that lo yimotzei is not going back on the seifa, but rather on the ratio, that if you accept responsibility, you're chayiv, because like we said before, lo yimotzei says that once you have a chrayis for it, you're chayiv. Rav Ashi says, no, really you could say it's going by on the seifa. In a case that you designated a place, a corner for it, a house for it, then you're not responsible for it, because it says lo yimotzei. It has to be something that's under your jurisdiction. If you set it aside for him and you gave it to him, so now it's not under your control, so you're potter. So is that to say that when you rent or lend something to a guy, he's kainit? Didn't we learn in Avodah Zarah that even in a place where you're allowed to rent a house to a guy, that's only to use it for other usages, but not to live there because we're afraid he's going to bring an Avodah Zarah in there. But if he's kind of the house, what's the difference if he brings an Avodah Zarah in there? He's bringing it into his own Rishos. So the Gemara says, even though normally a schiros or a borrowing isn't kind of the house, but nonetheless, over here is different, because over here the Torah says it has to be motzi, it has to be under your control, and at the end of the day, it's not under your control. Now that it's lent to the guy, it's under the guy's control. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rab, if you find chametz in your house on Yom Tov, so you can't get rid of it on Yom Tov, it's moksa, so you cover it over with a keli. However, says Rav, if it belongs to Hekdish, you don't have to cover it over, because we're not afraid someone's going to come eat it, because anyways, you stay away from Hekdish a whole year. Similarly, we say that if you have chametz of a guy in your house over Yom Tov, even though you're not responsible for it, so you don't have to get rid of it, since we're afraid you may come to eat it, you have to make a mechitza of 10 tefachim separating between you and the chametz. However, if it belongs to Hekdesh, you don't have to, because of the same source, Hekdesh you stay away from anyway. Says Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, if a person's going out of town, so if it's within 30 days before Pesach, he has to get rid of his chametz. If it's more than 30 days before Pesach, so then he doesn't have to. And that's at Abaye, even that which we said, within 30 days he has to get rid of the chametz, that's only if he's planning on coming back. Otherwise, he doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. On that, Rava asks the opposite. If he's planning on coming back, I don't care how early he's doing it, even from Rosh Hashanah, since he's coming back on Yom Tov, he needs to get rid of the chametz. Rather, says Rava, the opposite. If he's planning on coming back, regardless, he has to get rid of it. Even if he's not coming back, so then, if it's within 30 days, nonetheless, the Chiva B'dika was already chal on him, and he has to get rid of the chametz. If it's more than 30 days before, and he's not planning on coming back, then he doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. And this is Rav Lashitasi, because Rav said a similar thing. If a person turns his house into a storage, so all the chametz is going to get buried underneath everything else. So if it's more than 30 days before Pesach, he doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. Within 30 days, he has to get rid of the chametz. On that said, Rav, even that which we said, more than 30 days, you don't have to get rid of the chametz. That's only if you're not planning on emptying it out before the end of Yom Tov. But if you're planning on emptying it out, so then you do have to get rid of it. What's the significance of 30 days? Like we have a machloikis, shayla medarshim b'ilchos haPesach, when do you start asking and learning the halachas of Pesach? So according to the Tanna Kamma, 30 days before Pesach. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, 2 weeks before Pesach. So we see that the time to start thinking about Pesach is 30 days before. The Gemara says, what's the source of the Tanna Kamma? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, on Pesach Rishon, started telling the halachas of Pesach Sheni. It must be that 30 days before, you already have to start preparing. Rav Shimon Gamliel will answer you, really, normally, you don't have to start so early. Just once he was saying on Pesach Rishon, the halachas of Pesach, he finished off everything, including Pesach Sheni. What's the source of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe said to Klai Yisrael, Chodesh HaZalachem, which in that parasha, he spoke about the halachas of Pesach, which was 2 weeks before. And then the Gemara said, how do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu said on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it was said on the fourth of the month, fifth of the month, somewhere in middle of Nisan. Rather, says the Gemara, we learn it from the next year, that it says, in the beginning of the second year, in the first month, again, we're assuming that that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says over there, the halachas of the Karban Pesach. Again, 2 weeks before. Gemara asks the same question, how do you know that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Maybe it was the fourth or the fifth of the month. So on that, the Gemara says, this pasuk we have a gzeirah shel. It says in that pasuk that we just quoted in Midbar, and it says another pasuk when Moshe counted Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'omoy b'echad l'chodesh hasheni. So just like over there, it says b'feresh b'echad l'chodesh, it was the first of the month, it was Rosh Chodesh, so to this other pasuk it says Midbar was also Rosh Chodesh. Now the Gemara asks, the psukim seem to be out of order. This pasuk that Moshe counted Klal Yisrael happened in the second month, and that's written in the beginning of Sefer B'Midbar. The other pasuk that's talking about the halakas of Karban Pesach, which was happened Rosh Chodesh Nisan a month before, that's written in Parashas Baal Yisra, two parashas later. From here we see Emuktam Mokhra B'Tayra. On that the Gemara says, that which we say Emuktam Mokhra B'Tayra, that's only in two different parashas. But in one inyan, then things have to be in order. Because otherwise, how could we ever have a klal prat to say that the only thing that's true is that specific example and not include anything else? Or a prat or klal to say that the rule includes more than just the prat? How do you know which order it is, if it's a klal prat or a prat or klal? Must be in one inyan, they're all, everything's in order. If that's the case, fact the Gemara may be in two inyanim also. that how could things be out of order? It would mess up a klal prada prada klal. So Bishlam says the Gemara, according to the Shita, that a klal prada that are not next to each other, they're far apart, you can't darshan it, so in two inyanim, anyway, regardless, you would never make a klal prada, and therefore you could say any muktam u'mukhar b'ter. But according to the man number, that even though they're merchakim, even though they're far apart, nonetheless you could still make a prada klal or a klal prada, what are you going to say? So Gemara says, even if they're far apart, that means they're not right next to each other, there's a few psukim in between, but they're at least in the same inyan. But in two inyanim, everybody agrees you don't darshan, and therefore everybody could say that in two inyanim, a muktam u'mukhar b'ter. Says Rav Yudin in the name of Rav, after, even though you do a bedika, nonetheless you also have to be mevatel. So the Gemara says, why do you have to be mevatel? If we're afraid of the crumbs, those are automatically batel, they're not choshev. And even though you're locking your house to protect your house for other things, that's not going to make these things not hefker. Like we learned in a brisa, that the inferior figs that are at the end of the season that won't ripen, so even though you're watching your field because there's still grapes in the field, or the inferior grapes in the end of the grape season that you're still watching your field because of the squash and the gourds that are in the field, so if you're makbid on them, so they're ushered for someone else to take because of gzela, and they're not hefker, so they're chayv emaisa. But if you're not makbid on them, even though you're watching your field for other things, A, it's not gzela, and B, they're patur emaisa, just like any other hefker is patur emaisa. Rather, says Rav, because we're afraid you'll find a nice piece, not just crumbs, and at that point in time, you'll not want to burn it. So therefore, that's why you have to be mevatel b'shas the bedikah, just in case you missed it. Says the Gemara, why don't you be mevatel then when you find it? Says the Gemara, because maybe you'll find it after it's already usher. Once it's already usher, it's no longer in your shus. Since it's no longer in your rishus, you don't have the bias to be mevatel it. Like we say, that there's two things that are really not in your rishus, and nonetheless, the Torah considered it as if it's in your rishus. What are they? Someone who makes a pit in a public domain, in Rishus HaRabim, even though that he doesn't own it, he's responsible for it, and who Adin Chomis, even though it becomes Asabana, really it's not his Rishus, nonetheless, the Torah put it in back into his Rishus, as if it's his, to be Arabai Rabbi Amatzi. So says the Gemara, fine, so be mevatel it in the fourth or fifth hour of the next day, before this Mana Isser. So the Gemara says, since at that point in time, you're not being Isaac and getting rid of the Chomis, and it's not the time of Isser yet, so there's nothing to remind you to do the bittul, you'll procrastinate and push it off, and you might forget to do it totally. So that is the Gemara. So be mevatel in the beginning of the sixth hour when you burn the chametz. On that, the Gemara says, at that point in time, the beginning of the sixth hour, since it's also the rabbanon, like we mentioned before, so midrabbanon, it's already also ba'ana, it's already not in your rishus, you already can't be mevatel it. How do we know that? Like Rabbi Gidol says in the name of Rav, if someone is mekadosh a woman, gives kedushin to a woman, from the beginning of the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, even if he uses this hard wheat, which is hard to become chametz, like the wheat that grows on Har Ararat, nonetheless, since midrabbanan and it's also, the kedushin is not valid. So Gemara said, is that so that once the chametz is also, you can't be mevatel it? Don't we have a brisa that says there's a person sitting in the base of Medrash and he remembers that he has chametz in his house, he can mevatel it, whether this is talking about Shabbos or whether it's talking about Yontif. So the case of Shabbos is not a kasha, because you could say that's talking like a year like this year that Shabbos is Erev Yontif. But Yontif, by definition, is after this Man Yisrael, and unless we say you could be mevatel it. And that Rav Acha Yaakov answers, over here we're talking about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, and he remembers that he had a dough in his house that is did not yet become chametz. But he can't go home because he's sitting in front of his Rebbe. So Mimela, he's mevatel in his heart before it becomes chametz. And the riot to this teretz is from the fact that we took a case that he's sitting in the base marriage. His mashma, had he been home, he would have done something else. If it's already chametz, you have no choice but to mevatel anyway. Must be that it didn't yet become chametz. So had he been home, he would have baked it. Then the Gemara says, if you find a box that has these crumbs that are moldy, so if rive of the usage of the box was matzah, then you could assume that the crumbs are matzah and they're mutter. So the Gemara says, what's the case? If you could tell that they're chametz, who cares that rive of the usage was matzah? And Elamai, you can tell, so why do you need rive? Even without rive, we should look at the most recent usage. And since the most recent usage was matzah, Mistami, you cleaned it in between the previous usage of chametz and this current usage of matzah, so automatically you could assume that it's matzah. Like we find this concept, that we know that if a person finds money in front of an animal merchant, since most people who are in Yerushalayim who are coming to purchase behemoths are for kabbonis, they use Meiser Sheni money, so the money is assumed to be Meiser Sheni money. If it's found on our bayis, we look at Rav money, which is Chulin. If it's found in the streets of Yerushalayim, so then depends when it's found. If it's found the rest of the year, it's chulin. But if it's found on Yontif time, we say that it's Maaser Sheni money, because most money on Yontif time is Maaser Sheni money. And we don't say that we should look at the whole year. Why? Because since the streets are cleaned every day, if it fell beforehand, it would have already been found. And therefore, we look at the most recent day. So too, by the box, we should look at the most recent usage. So the Gemara says, over here is different. Since it's moldy, you could tell that it wasn't here for a short time. It was here for a while already, and that's why you need Roiv. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, how does Roiv help? You know it's for sure chametz. So the Gemara answers, when we said Roiv Matzah, we didn't mean that most of the usage was Matzah. Rather, we meant that it's many days into Pesach. So much so that it was able to be moldy, even though it was Matzah. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, then we're back to the original Kasha. There's no reason not to go by the most recent usage, because now the fact that it's moldy is no longer a Kasha. So the Gemara says, the case is that it was very moldy. So I might have thought, since it's very moldy, that indicates that it was Chametz from before Pesach. And that we say no. Since it's possible that every day he baked another bread and put the hot bread on top of it, so it's possible that that speeded up the process of becoming very moldy, and it's possible that it all came from Pesach, and therefore we have a right to go but with the most recent usage. The Gemara asks, still, do we go with the most recent usage? Don't we have a price that basically says that you have a box, that box was used sometimes for chulin money and sometimes for meiser money? So you look at what roiv was. If roiv was chulin money, it's the money that's found in there now that you don't know what it is chulin money. If roiv was meiser sheni money, so you assume that it's meiser sheni money. Why don't we look at the most recent usage? So Gemara gives three terutzim. Either Nachum Bar Yitzchak answers, you don't know which one was the most recent usage, and therefore you have to go with roiv. Or Reb Zvid answers that the box was used for two types of money at the same time. On one side of the box, chulin money, and one side of the box, meiser sheni money. So the money that's found in between, you don't know where it is. You don't have the most recent, so you have to look at roiv. Or Reb Papa says it was found in a crevice. The whole svar, like we said before, is because you clean it out in between. But if it got stuck into a crevice, so then it could have been there for a while, and therefore you have to look at roiv. Review this says, when you make a bedikah, you make a bracha. What's the nusach of the bracha? So over here we have a machlokes. Rav Papa says the bracha is levar chametz. Rav Papa says the bracha is albir chametz. The Gemara explains that the bracha has to be made before you do the mitzvah, and therefore the nusach of the bracha has to be future tense. Levar, everybody agrees, is future tense, and therefore it's a valid bracha. The question is albir chametz. One shita holds it's past tense, and therefore it's no good. The other shita says that no, albir chametz can also mean future tense on the beer that I'm about to do, and therefore it is okay. On that, we bring a raya from the fact that we say Asher Kitchan Mitzvah Sovitzivan Alamila. Must be that it could be future tense. So over there, the Gemara says no, because over there it's different because we have no better alternative. Because had we said Lamo, it would be mashmah that the Mayel is Machuiv to do the Mila, which is not true. It's not his Chiv, it's the father's Chiv. Says the Gemara, what happens according to that if the father does the Mila? So the Gemara says, Anachanami, according to that Shita, that you have to say Levar, so who when the father does the Bris, he would say Lamo. Similarly, the Gemara says, by Shechita, the bracha is ala Shechita. Must be ours a valid nusach. So again, the Gemara says the same teretz, because you're not mechuyif to shecht. It's only if you want to eat, you have to shecht. So the Gemara says, what about when it comes to karbonis? So the Gemara says, anachanami, according to this Zman Davar, in such a case, you wouldn't make ala Shechita, you would make lishchit. Then we ask from a Bryce, the Bryce says, when a person prepares and puts together the lulav for himself, he makes a shechiyanu. Later on, when he picks it up to be yoytze the mitzvah, he says, al natilas lulav. So what do we see? That al could be mash in the future. So the Gemara says, no, over there it's taka past tense, because as soon as you pick it up, right away you're yoytze the mitzvah. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, the words of the Bryce are shver, because the Bryce says, you pick up the lulav to be yotze. As soon as you pick it up, you're yotze. You didn't pick it up to then be yotze. As soon as you pick it up, you were already yotze. So the Gemara says, really, anachanami. Really, the Baiser said, as soon as you pick it up, you were yotze. The reason why it says to be yotze is because since the Sefer of the Baiser says, leishe basukra, so too the Reisha said, lotze's boy. What's the Sefer? Because the Sefer says as well, if a person builds a sukkah, when he builds a sukkah, he makes a shechiyanu. Then when he goes into the sukkah to sit there, leishe basukkah, he makes a bracha, asher kishon v'sei sovitzivon, leishe basukkah. The Gemara passes the maskana that even al bir chametz works, because al could also mean the future. Bottom line, everybody agrees that when you make a bracha, it has to be before the mitzvah. Where do we get this from? Because if you just said in the name of Shmuel, all mitzvahs, you have to make a bracha on them prior to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, which he calls over la siyasan. Says the Gemara, where did you get that definition of Iver means prior? So the Gemara brings three riyas to that. Either a pasuk says Vayaratz Achimatz Derech Hakikar, Achimatz ran through the plains, Vayavar is a Kushi, he passed in front of the Kushi, so we see going ahead of preceding is a Lashon of Vayavar. Or a second riyah, when Yaakov went to meet Esav, he went in front of his children, it says, Hu Iver Lifneim. Or a third pasuk says Vayavar Malkum Lifneim Hashem Bereshim. Again, all of them saying that Vayavar or Avar means that he went in front of. In Yeshiva Rav, they said there's two exceptions to this rule of Iver Thiyason: Tfila, going to the mikvah, and Tkiya Shefer. So we understand going to the mikvah because until he went to the mikvah, he can't make a bracha yet. You have to make the bracha afterwards. However, Tkiya Shefer, why can't you make the bracha before? And if you're going to tell me we're afraid because maybe the Tkiya will get messed up, so if that's the case, by Shechita also, you shouldn't make the bracha before, maybe it'll get messed up. By Mila as well. Elamai, we're not afraid for that. So by Shefer as well. So the one says Anachanami, the only exception is Tfila. Then, going back to the Mishnah says that the Bidigas Chametz is done by candlelight. Why candlelight? So says Reb Chista, we make a drush as follows. It says over here, Sa'ar lo yimotze v'vatechem. It says, when Yosef planted the cup in Binyamin's bag, it says they searched for it. It says, Vayichapes v'agav lehechel v'akotn kilo v'yimotze. So we see the mitzi over there is ayidei achipus through searching. Now, in another pasuk, it says, how do you do searching? It says, the searching is done through Neris. So you follow the chain. Who are then over here? You find through searching.